Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for June 6th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law that I am, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced that checks and balance is brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A quick recap of Friday's, that's yesterday's broadcast. We had our guest on, Mr. Former Sheriff Richard Mack, well-known president and founder of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. He was with us for both hours. And good news, he'll do the same today. We've got so much to discuss. It is amazing, folks. We talked about Las Vegas casinos reopened. How many of you are feeling lucky is kind of the headline. Now, the interesting thing is, since they opened, everybody's kind of wondering how many people would go and would they come back. Man, the place was packed. As Sheriff Mack said, I'm happy the casinos are open. That's good news for sure. But I'm telling you right now, it's interesting how so many people are willing to go back and accept what's going on in the world, right? In other words, people realize what's happening, and they realize what kind of a problem it is, right? We can lock down, folks, and I understand that, but we can also destroy our whole society, our whole economy. Okay, we can't have that. So everybody's going back to the casinos. I wish they'd go back to church, but that's just me. Ann Coulter's in the news. Quote, she talked about, on the other hand, there's Rodney King. Yeah, a big old fiasco about how the mainstream press manipulated that case till the cows came home. They literally manipulated the tapes. They had dereliction and deception while editing the tapes was the claim. And it's true. And they're doing the same thing in this situation now. Look, I'm not defending the cops that are out of control. But I'm also not going to just attack the cops as if all cops are bad. I'm going to restrain myself and say, hey, how do we get justice peacefully? And that's where we need to spend our time. What we don't need to do is double down into racism and divide tactics. We need to realize that, hey, we as Americans can stand together shoulder to shoulder for that which is right and good and honorable, can't we? We talked about Project Veritas, for example, and they released a video exposing the violent nature of Antifa. Yeah. James O'Keefe has done it again. He went undercover with Antifa, and what they recorded is exactly what the media will not tell you. Bottom line is that group is violent, ladies and gentlemen. And we need to follow guys more like Ben Carson, who says, we want to hear solutions from those who feel the system is still unfair. And we've been providing solutions for days on your radio. All right? E-commerce site Etsy is now in solidarity with Black Lives Matter. This is where I believe propaganda is at an all-time high. Etsy, the cutesy website and, you know, small mom-and-pop entrepreneur kind of stuff, that doesn't belong with Black Lives Matter, folks. But the propaganda is so strong in the media that people just think, I've got to jump on Black Lives Matter or else I'm an enemy of the people and a racist. It's a flat-out manipulative lie. Hour 2 Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday. Available at lovingliberty.net and libertyroundtable.com. We talked about UC San Diego students demand passing grades due to riots. I don't see what the riots of the last day or two have had to do with their grades, but nevertheless, maybe you ought to stay home and study rather than go rioting, huh? The Rutgers lecturer condemns Donald Trump's labeling of the Antifa as a terrorist organization. I agree with the labeling. By the way, a Texas official follows up and says, Austin, that's Austin, Texas, looting organized by an Antifa webpage. So, you know what? They're promoting violence and hostility. Okay, they did that in Charlottesville, and President Trump talked about it but got slam-basted for it. Now they're doing it again. And now more and more people are waking up and recognizing the truth. Factory orders plunged in April, revealing deep economic cuts from coronavirus. Over the past 11 weeks, ladies and gentlemen, 42.7 million people have sought jobless benefits as states shut down. Now, some states are coming back and there's a turnaround. They say that there's a chunk of jobs, 2.5 million jobs. I'm grateful that it's coming back. I'm so happy that we're starting to open up. I think that's wonderful. But folks, we've had a severe, severe government-forced economic complete meltdown. Three women were chastised in a video. What did they try to do? They tried to remove graffiti from a National Register building called the Lafayette Building in Washington, D.C. They tried to remove Black Lives Matter graffiti from the building, and they got slam-basted for being racist. Why? Because they're white, and they're trying to remove graffiti. And Richard Mack wisely highlighted, you know what? Sheriffs are taught. The sooner you remove graffiti, the better off you are, because it disincentivizes the gangs and those who, you know, peddle in graffiti. You leave it up and it empowers them. Anyway, these women doing a great job, but got chastised. Again, you can't do anything for equality or you're a racist now. Anything you do that's honorable and good and right just makes you a flat-out racist these days. Sad to say, we'll get into that as the broadcast unfolds. Mail-in votes discarded. I guess they had a Baltimore election. The votes were mailed in, never counted. It was a big error, they say. No vote fraud, just an error. Sorry about that, but by the way, we should have mail-in elections for November. How bogus is that? Google faces $5 billion in lawsuit because why? Well, they were tracking private internet use. How many times has Google been caught and slapped on the wrist for that, huh? Steve Stockman press release. We talked about this big time. Family of medically vulnerable former U.S. congressman. Yeah, he's still in prison. They're calling for an investigation into cruel and unusual punishment. The press release is on PR Newswire. Steve's life matters. That's the hashtag we ought to promote right now. And, you know, Patty got a hold of me after the show, asked me to create a couple of isolated clips for her about Steve Stockman. And we pray that we can release a man like Steve. I'm telling you, Steve's life matters. And he'll die if they don't let him out. I'm telling you right now. The poor guy has serious health problems. Coronavirus is rampant in prisons. I mean, I pray for Steve. I don't even know how to respond, except my prayers are with Steve. Our prayers are with anybody that's wronged and abused. I don't care what color or race they are, by the way. Let's be very clear. Snapchat will stop promoting Donald Trump's posts, so Donald Trump gets less social media promotion. Pompeo honors the survivors of Tiananmen Square. Good for Mike Pompeo. Trump administration bars Chinese passenger planes from entry into the United States. Andrew Cuomo needles Donald Trump. Here in New York, we actually read the Bible, he says. And political reporter is questioning Trump's relationship with God, kind of saying he's a fake Christian. I'm not here to judge people's Christianity. I'm just here to look at actions and consequences and principle. And that's my litmus test, if you will. If it's embracing proper principle and moral law, then I'm in. And if it's not, I don't like it. I'm out. All right. Minnesota National Guard protects an essential Minneapolis grocery store. I think everybody's property is essentially needing protection. Texas man wanted to off racists and mega people at George Floyd protest. The world is so mixed up, it's beyond imagination. Anyway, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. Still available online at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. News the networks refuse to use starts now. We are live 6 days a week. How many talk shows can say that on the Sabbath? We rest. Without further ado, the good sheriff's with us. Welcome back, Sheriff Richard Mack.
Well, thanks, Sam. And man, it's a beautiful Saturday morning in Pflugerville, Texas.
Think how much news we cover, my friend. Isn't it shocking how many stories we really talk about and how much news we really bring forward?
Yeah, it was. And I want to really focus on. You don't even know what I want to focus on.
Well, we got a lot to talk about today, that's for sure. And so our guest, former Sheriff Richard Mack, with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's president and founder of CSPOA.org. That's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. And everyone needs to become a member, because I wouldn't say it's the only solution left. Morality in the people is important. And, you know, there's a lot of things that can be done. But I submit to you that the Constitutional Sheriff understanding their oaths of office really, really make a difference. And I've been watching some videos of the young sheriff, Richard Mack, what, 30 years ago, sheriff, basically?
Yes.
And in those videos, Sheriff Mack has these earth folks where they sing songs like Earth is Our Mother and the Sky is Our Father and stuff. And they're very hippied out and very, you know, in love with the earth and the trees. And they were chaining themselves to trees, and they were really defying this idea that the university wanted to put telescopes on the mountain and all this stuff. And Sheriff Richard Mack and his crew were just amazing in this. They were polite. They didn't argue. Even when they handcuffed and arrested people, they had to move people that were handcuffed, and they did so very politely and kindly. And, you know, the good sheriff was kind to these people. And I highlight that in contrast with what's happening today, Sheriff. And it just makes you go, wow. You know what we really need? We need real leadership, Sheriff.
Well, Sam, I hadn't seen those videos in about... I think about the since that time. So
yeah, about 30 years.
It was about 28 years. I'm sure I saw him a little bit after that, but it's been a good 25 to 28.
All right, I want to talk about those videos a little bit more right after the pause. I want to talk about the importance of leadership and example. And, you know, I just don't see that happening across America today. I just see an incredible divide that seems to be getting worse and worse. Let's talk about it in seconds with Sheriff Richard Mack.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
Your call is being transferred to the listening ear. Listening professionals dedicated to hearing you.
Hello, listening ear. Who am I listening to?
Carrie, but I was calling my mom.
Yes, you were, but your mom was so busy she felt it was important for you to have someone who could completely focus on listening to you and you alone. So she subscribed to our service. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Well, I'm not quite sure.
Where to start? Well, I can listen to school issues like science projects. I can listen to boy problems, although that's an extra $3 per call because of the emotional drain on me. How about we start with how you wish you had made cheerleader?
I didn't try out for cheerleader.
This isn't Mary?
Carrie. I'm Carrie.
Oh, sorry.
There is no substitute for a loving parent. And when you really listen, love is what they'll hear. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
All right, we're live on your radio. Sam Bush from the Good Sheriff, Richard Mack, CSPOA.org. We're talking about some old videos, literally 30-year-old videos, where the Good Sheriff Richard Mack and his crew, when the sheriff was sheriff, if you will, and they were literally dealing with these protesters, and the protesters were pretty radical, man. I mean, they were taunting the cops, and they were chaining themselves to trees, and they were literally violating trespassing orders. I mean, it got a little bit crazy. The news covered it, and the good sheriff was so kind to these people. I watched this, and I just think, man, I don't even find cops polite like that to me, Sheriff.
Yeah, Sam, it was really a defining moment for my tenure as sheriff, and I never knew anything like this was going to happen in Southeast Arizona in Graham County, it became the environmental concern for the world. It really was put out with the Sierra Club and the Earth First organization.
And their goal was literally to put it out and try to use this to take it live to shame you, and it backfired.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They wanted to do anything and everything to stop the erection of the telescopes on Mount Graham, and Mount Graham being located in Graham County, where I was sheriff. I was only in office a couple of years when this happened. I had very little experience with protest groups, especially one as, I would say, adept and capable of pulling off things that stop the buildings of anything. They will do anything and everything to stop in their environmental concern. And like I said, this was called the Red River Rendezvous. And wherever you have the Red River Rendezvous is where the biggest environmental concern in the world exists at that time. And the Red River Rendezvous was on Mount Graham to stop the University of Arizona and the Vatican from erecting telescopes on Mount Graham. And they wanted to save the red squirrel, and of course they wanted to save the trees. And there was much more involved than the videos there. And there's a video also out there that showed what they did the actual day that they were dedicating the telescopes. And they got three, I'll never forget this. As long as I live, I'll never forget this. They got three long logs, about 30 feet long. And they tied them together up at the top to where it was a tripod. And up at the top, they put a blanket where the three logs met. And a girl, a Native American girl, sat on the top there. And it was right in the middle of the road, so it stopped all traffic. And the only way that you could get past is to get rid of that tripod. But to get rid of the tripod, you might kill the girl or at least cause her physical damage. And we had engineers from the University of Arizona and all these cops and dignitaries, and nobody could figure out how to bring her down. So my undersheriff and I met and looked at it, and I go, don't we have a chainsaw? And we said, sure, we got him. I said, I want you to take 3 feet of the one log at a time. So cut 3 feet so it leans, but it doesn't fall. It leans one way until you cut all the 3 feet. So we did that. We cut 3 feet on each log off until we got her down. It took about 45 minutes for us to cut her down to where she got low enough. And we did arrest her. But again, we were very careful. And the whole time that we were cutting the logs, all the Earth Firsters were chanting, the whole world is watching. You're going to kill this girl. You're going to hurt this girl. You can't do it that way, you know? And anyway, it totally worked, and we got her down. And then, of course, they had other people chaining their necks to cattle guards with titanium. Yeah, the titanium steel cobalt chain so that they couldn't get up, that we couldn't just cut them. And it was, we had some tools ready for that too, and we got those cut finally. And those caused a lot of sparks, so we had to get a wet towel and put it against the guy's neck. And so they were really a pain. And these people knew how to, they would spike trees to when they were cutting trees that the chainsaws would break. And so it wasn't like these.
The chainsaws could break, but they can also whip back on you if you're not very careful when it hits that metal. So it's very dangerous.
Right. And so these people weren't entirely peaceful protesters, and people would get after me for that, you know, and blame me because I'd mama coddled them. And at the beginning of all of this, we met with the U.S. Forest Service, the University of Arizona Police, and Department of Public Safety Police for the state. Oh, and let's see, and then all the police agencies in Safford, so Thatcher Police, Pima Police, and Safford Police, and so all those different agencies met, and one guy at the very beginning, I'm pretty sure he was with the federal government, when we were having our first meeting about providing security for the mountain and for the projects that they were doing, and again, this is the University of Arizona and the Vatican. And to this day, I still don't know why the Vatican was so interested in having a telescope, spending the millions of dollars to put a telescope owned by the Vatican, by the Catholic Church, on Mount Graham. And I asked them then, and the question did happen in that video. I think you saw it. And the Vatican said, "We just want to watch God's creation." And watching the stars and the skies and the heavens is part of God's world that we're interested in. So that was the best answer I guess I could give. I still don't quite understand why you need a telescope to do that, but anyway, they did. And at one time, at the end, at the dedication, the representative from the Vatican, who came right from Rome, handed about 10 of us a medallion that celebrated the day of the dedication of the Vatican telescope, and it was blessed and handled and touched, blessed and anointed by Pope John Paul II, who is probably one of the most popular popes in my lifetime. In fact, the most in my lifetime. And I've tried a couple of times to put it on eBay and to get it sold, but nobody really wants to pay what I think it's really worth. And, you know, somebody offered $150 or something like that. But I still have it. It's in mint condition. I still have it after all these years. And it's something that means something to me. And I guess I thought that somebody who really prized and praised Pope John Paul II would want it. But it, Sam, the reason I bring up all that is because all the other police agencies wanted us to really go after these people. You know, they would go in grocery stores and other stores and commit shoplifting and whatnot. And I never gave them a pass or anything on like that. If any of these hippies went in and committed a crime, they were arrested.
In other words, you upheld the law as you were supposed to.
But the thing of it is, these other agencies really wanted to go after these people, and they wanted to hurt them, and they wanted to beat them, and they wanted to have they came up there with their...
But let me stop you there. Let me stop you there, because this relates right now to the riots around the country. What do you mean these agencies wanted to beat them? Are you out of your mind?
Yeah, they were sick and tired of them. They really were.
Well, I get the frustration of being sick and tired of them, and I don't agree with them, but you can't just beat them.
Yeah, Sam, I was sick and tired of this, too.
Of course.
I never thought this was going to be so much of our time as law enforcement in Grand County. I never thought I would have to spend so much time babysitting these protesters. But I guarantee you that if I hadn't been there, there would have been protesters who really got hurt by the police, by these other agencies. And it was me constantly telling people, we are not here to hurt these protesters, and I'm not going to allow any of it. And I was pretty forceful with these people, and some of these other agencies would be making fun of me for mama coddling and whatnot. But I stood by my beliefs, and some of my own deputies wanted us to take a stronger approach to them. And I just said, look, they have a right to be here. And we're not going to hurt them, and we will respect their rights.
Imagine that, ladies and gentlemen. The good sheriff. We'll talk about this a little bit more. And then we got a ton of other topics to cover, too. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. You
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
It's been 12 days of street protests after the death of George Floyd in police custody. There are now major signs of change in police procedures around the country. Minneapolis is now banning police chokeholds or any pressure on the neck. California is also following suit.
Now, we can argue that these are used as exceptions, but at the end of the day, a carotid hold that literally is designed to stop people's blood from flowing into their brain, that has no place any longer in 21st century practices in policing.
California Governor Gavin Newsom, Seattle's mayor, is banning tear gas for 30 days. A federal judge told police in Denver they couldn't use tear gas, plastic bullets, or other less than lethal force, such as flash grenades, against protesters there. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allen Root. Are you in need of a healthcare program? You're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with membership starting as early as the following month. There are no contracts, no commitments. There is no network, so you choose your own doctors and hospitals. Starting as low as $199 per month, Liberty HealthShare has programs for singles, couples, and families of any size. I joined. I'm a member. My four children are members. Liberty has saved me $72,000 compared to what I was paying for health insurance over these 4 years. Liberty HealthShare is a non-profit ministry. It is not insurance. Your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who come together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY, 855-58-LIBERTY, or go to libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot. libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot.
Some Buffalo police officers are resigning over the treatment of one of their own. USA Radio's John Hunt has more.
Nearly five dozen Buffalo police officers resigned from the unit after two colleagues were suspended after a video surfaced appearing to show them shoving and seriously injuring a 75-year-old protester. Members of the Buffalo Police Department's emergency response team quit the task force after the fallout from the incident, which was caught on tape. A spokesman for Buffalo's mayor confirmed the mass resignation, but insisted the city streets would be protected.
In Washington, D.C., Mayor Muriel Bowser ordered the words Black Lives Matter painted on the street in large yellow letters. The mayor has also called for the removal of out-of-state National Guardsmen. That's drawing sharp criticism from President Trump, who tweeted, "Mayor Bowser is grossly incompetent and in no way qualified to be running an important city like Washington, D.C." You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. So, Sheriff, the interesting thing about this is this example was 30 years ago almost. But my headline for this says Sheriff Mack deals with Red River Rendezvous. It's not a riot. It's a rendezvous, ladies and gentlemen. Almost 30 years ago. And it's an example for today, sir. Because, again, you're telling me that as a sheriff, other agencies and other groups were saying, look, we got to just crush these people. And you were saying, no, wait a minute, I'm going to uphold the law and arrest them if they violate the law, but I'm going to respect these people and take care of these people, and I'm going to give them their rights and support their rights. I shouldn't say give them, but support their rights. And I'm not going to do that. And you were mocked by these other organizations, but you were kind and polite and made friends out of them. Some of them, believe it or not, are your friends today as a result of this. And it was an example that it sounds, you know, hey, 30 years ago, who cares? But is it as relevant to me today as it was almost 30 years ago, sir?
Well, I've never really kept touch with any of them. I've heard a few comments from some of them years later, and one of them was from an employee of Ben Swan.
That's right. His name is Zach Carter, and he makes a right. When I first met Zach, he told me the whole story. He said, I came into town hating all these government people, and Richard Mack was no exception. And then he basically said, but I watched him, and we completely disagreed. He never agreed with us. This is what Zach says. He never agreed with us, but he treated us with dignity, and I began to understand there is a difference. And he said that's when his great awakening started.
Yeah, and that was really something for me to hear from him about, what was it, 25 years later, and that he had respect for me about that. And, you know, he had moved on with his life, and he was a little bit embarrassed by what Earth Firsters did and that he was a part of what they did, you know, but, you know, he grew up.
We all live and learn and grow up, right?
Oh, of course. But it was a real defining moment for my tenure as sheriff, as I said, and it was an amazing result. And that is that people were protected who were protesting. And, you know, I cannot put a fence around the county and say, oh, well, you hippie protesters are not allowed in my county. You're not allowed to be here. You're not allowed to go up this beautiful mountain. Mount Graham is the greatest landmark in our whole county. It is by far what defines us as a county.
Now, the interesting thing is they would taunt the sheriff in this case and then be like, we're not allowed to go up that mountain, are we? And the sheriff's like, oh, yeah. Sure you can. You can walk, right? And then they'd be like, we can't drive on this road, can you? Well, sure you can.
Yeah, and I don't know, have you posted those videos?
I have not posted the videos yet. What we need to do is get shorter, trimmed up.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Anyway, all I'm telling you is we got to work on this a little bit. But I'm telling you, it is the answer for today. And it highlights even 30 years ago, they were recommending just crush these people. Now, let me explain this very carefully, because I don't agree with the Earth protesters at all. They were singing Mother Earth is our mother and, you know, Father Sky is our father. And they were chaining themselves to trees and spiking trees. And I don't believe in doing any damage. OK, I don't believe in killing abortionists to save lives. I don't believe in spiking trees to save trees. OK, I don't believe in any of that kind of stuff. I believe the negotiating table is where the best things happen. That's just me, okay? And I'm actually pretty decent at negotiating. And nevertheless, I bring this up because I don't agree with these people at all, Sheriff. But 30 years ago, I will say dealing with them peacefully, setting the example of peace, treating them with kindness, recognizing your limitations as an elected official in terms of you've got covenants to keep with the people, an oath to keep with the people, and that you need to keep that oath regardless if you're frustrated, regardless if you're mad, regardless if you agree or disagree. And I submit to you, this example is what we need today. And imagine if we had, there's 3,000 counties in the United States approximately, ladies and gentlemen. Imagine if you had 3,000 constitutional sheriffs that said, listen, I have an oath to keep. If they violate the law, I will arrest and I will prosecute, but in that I can be patient and kind and educational and gentle, and I'm going to do it because they are God's children. And I don't know what race they were all. I know some of them were African-American, some of them were Indian, Native American, some of them were white, some of them were Hispanic, some of them were, okay, race isn't a factor here. They all have God-given rights. They're all God's children, and they should be treated as such. And when I watch those videos, even your staff behaved that way. Sheriff, your staff was kind. Your staff was saying please and thank you to these people. Can you move over here, please? Thank you. Okay, these were the actions. I'm telling you, it's all captured by these world firster people who wanted to make an example. Sheriff, you're on video. The whole world's going to see how evil you are. And the world saw something else, sir. So when we talk on the radio and our critics say, oh, you guys don't know what you're talking about. What you talk about is all Pollyanna. What you talk about is Peter Pan syndrome. You think that, you know, your ideas will work, but try the real world. It won't work. All right. I'm telling you right now, these world firsters put out an example of the real world, Sheriff.
Well, I hope so. And I'm telling you, that's the first thing I thought when I reviewed the video, because my son Josh, who's home I'm in right now, who just had that surgery that I came here for to help him and to kind of take care of his home and his kids and his dogs and whatnot. And his wife is still working for Apple, and she's real busy. And so Don and I are here helping. But when he found the video and he showed it to us, and then I looked up another one, and I said, yeah, there was more videos about this. I wonder if more is on there, and I did. So I found two so far. But
and what are they called again? World Firsters?
Earth Firsters.
Earth Firsters?
Earth First. The organization is Earth First.
Okay.
And they're with the Sierra Club.
And that still goes on today, right?
Yeah, I'm positive they do, yes.
Yeah, Earth First is still on Wikipedia right now.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, sir.
But that is that's the first thing. That's the first thing I thought. I said, "Man, even back then, I still I began these ideals about protecting people and respecting people's rights, and even for these hippies. And Sam, I never liked hippies. All through high school, I couldn't stand the hippies, the potheads, any of them. But I was still friendly with them back then. Even I didn't, you know, walk by them and tell them, "Hey, stupid pothead," you know. I had some friends who did, who really got after him, but I didn't. And the thing of it is, I thought this video was a great example that should go around the country today, that everybody should be in law enforcement, should be trained on these things, and that we can respect the people that we disagree with, and we can respect protesters. And I hope that on the other hand, conversely, that protesters will respect the police. And having Zach Carter say that, how they respected me after 25 years when you and I first talked to him, and he came out to say what he thought of Sheriff Mack and how he handled the protesters back in 1990 and 91, and I think it went on into 92 maybe, but it was about a year and a half that I had to deal with these people. And it was just really gratifying to hear somebody on the other side, to see almost your enemy respecting what I did, and it really touched me.
And we say enemy because we completely disagree. So we're talking about enemy philosophy-wise, not enemy Americanism-wise or God's children-wise. Let's be very clear about the use of words that we're talking about here. We're enemies in that we're opponents. We disagree on everything relating to their actions and their behavior and their viewpoints.
Yeah, and I really
not enemies when it comes to law enforcement, though, right?
I didn't like them, and I was really mad at them for really getting in the way of Graham County. The people there just wanted to be farmers and to take care of their families, and then this whole thing interrupted Graham County. It really did, and it interrupted my sheriff business and what I wanted to do, and it really took a lot of time away from what I wanted to do as sheriff. And so, yeah, I was mad at them. But I still realized that it was part of the job, and that I, you know, even though I didn't plan on this, and I certainly didn't run for sheriff to say I will stop the protesters, because nobody had any idea that that was ever going to be part of our lives there.
One of the things to think about, Sheriff, is not only is this an example for all the riots that are going on and how to avert them and to stop them and to change the game, but this is an example even in the Ammon Bundy case when they took over the Malheur Wildlife Refuge example. You know what? Kindness and patience and working with them would have been the answer. We wouldn't have to have a dead Lavoie Finicum if we had a sheriff such as you. In fact, they were trying to flee to a constitutional sheriff in a different county named Glenn Palmer when the murder took place. And so I look at this and go, man, we just need constitutional sheriffs that understand their oath and have a desire for peace, not an angry, hell-bent for, quote, justice. Where's the mercy? Where's the line to lead by example and show with examples of peace? We'll talk about it with a good sheriff in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's advanced distance education program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, back with you live, Sam Bushman, the good sheriff, Sheriff Richard Mack. I don't want to spend, 2 hours on this, but I wanted to really spend some time. We're going to be putting some videos together that highlight some of this, because I'm telling you, the restraint from your staff, the kindness showed by your staff. Let's just finish the discussion. Eventually, they wouldn't cooperate, and you extracted a promise from them. But if we let you do this and that, and then you guys will leave. And they did. They kept their promise. Believe it or not, this is surprising to me.
That was actually, we had about 30 of them handcuffed. The news said it was 22. It was actually more. There was actually at least two of the people we handcuffed that ran off together into the forest. We never got those handcuffs back, and we never saw them again. They all carried handcuff keys with them. Maybe not all of them, but part of their group. There was always part of somebody in their group that carried handcuff keys just for those very incidents. So not all of them ran off. I think maybe at the most four did, so two pairs, because we handcuffed them together.
Now, let me explain. In the modern day, though, they'd probably get shot, buddy.
Oh, yeah, true.
Now, I'm not for them running away and breaking the law, but I'm also interested in the crime and the response relating to the crime and relating to the situation. There's no need to shoot these people or even, you might try to find them, but you don't need to get crazy with resources to go after them either.
No, well, the charge that they were with was blocking traffic. You know, maybe a trespass charge is the best it was.
If they just leave and go away and don't come back, problem solved.
Yeah. So, and that's what I told them. I didn't want 30 people being involved in our jail. Adding 30 people to a jail in one day is really way overboard. That was going to completely exhaust our system, our jail, and our court. There's no way that we ever arrested that many people at one time, and we would have to probably take them to other counties where they had room, so an hour and a half drive away to take them back and forth from the court to the jail. And I just no way that I wanted to arrest all those people. So I had a powwow with them, and I said, look, I powwowed with them before, and they said, once we give our word, that's it. We might do some dishonest things. In fact, one of their leaders said that. So we might do some dishonest things, like you should really be watching any of us in grocery stores, because we will commit shoplifting, no question. And I said, yeah, I've already seen that. But anyway, they were up front with me, and there was numerous times where I sat down and just talked with them. I'd take them green chili burros from one of the best restaurants in Safford, and we'd sit down and have powwows. And so when I offered them this deal of not being arrested, I'm going to take your handcuffs off of you, and with the understanding that you will leave them out and not come back for over 1 year. You cannot come back and protest. You can at the U of A, you can down in Safford, whatever else you want to do, but you cannot come back on this mountain for a year. That's the deal. And so they said, would you leave us to make this decision? Yeah, so I walked away, could not hear what they were talking about. I went away, let them make their decision, and they decided together as a unit that they would keep their word and that they would leave the mountain. And so, to me, the taxpayers were taken care of, the The court systems were taken care of. Our jail was taken care of better.
Let me explain a couple of other things. Nobody died. Nobody got beat to a pulp. None of those things happened.
Nobody was ever hit or beat or maced or nightsticked or attacked by a dog during the entire year and a half, 2 years that I had to deal with these people. Never.
Ladies and gentlemen, I highlight this as an example. And, you know, again, I'm not looking to praise men. But I am here to praise the guidelines set forth in our supreme law. I am here to highlight the guidelines set forth in the oath of office. I am here to highlight what can happen when people remain peaceful, keep their head, and think out of the box for solutions. Okay, this is what we need. It's called real leadership, Sheriff. And I know it's a little bit embarrassing for me to put you on the spot and talk about that like that, but we've got to highlight the truth, and we've got to set this forth as the way to move forward. What if this had been dealt with like this in these riots right now? What would be happening? Can you give us a little bit of a... I know you're not there and involved, so it's kind of hard to look in from the outside, but you do have probably the best experience to do so.
Well, I think the sheriff and a few of the sheriffs and peace officers that actually walked with the protesters, that would have been something I would have done. In fact, I've even said that in some of our training. You've been there when I've said, what if you're protesting and the sheriff is walking with you?
And by the way, that's exactly what you did on these videos. You walked with these people and joked with them and tried to build some rapport.
I did. That's exactly what happened. And so when I saw the sheriff from Michigan walking with protesters, and that got on the news, and this good sheriff was shaking hands with people, even during the coronavirus, he was shaking hands and hugging some of the protesters. That really garnered some respect, and it garnered a relationship, and everybody became human to each other instead of the antagonistic thing. And I use the word enemy. Making friends out of the enemy is something that is vital, and that's what I meant by that, using that word. Because I never really viewed them as the enemy. I just didn't like them. I didn't. But after...
You didn't like their tactics?
I got to respect them. Yeah, I didn't like their tactics. I didn't like what they stood for. They stunk. They were hippies. They rarely bathed. And so, no, it was completely foreign to the way I was brought up and who I was. And I didn't like them. But by the time we finished, I respected them, and they respected me, and later on we found out how that worked, and with Zach Carter and his comments and how they all felt. I never heard from them since then, except until Zach Carter talked to both you and me about it.
And Zach Carter's just recent, like in the last, I don't know, what, 8 years or 10 years, I don't know. 7 years, I don't know, something like that. But it's recent compared to when this all happened. We literally went 20-plus years and had no idea this change of heart by Zach and how the people really felt and what really went down. It's just interesting that loop closes so much later. And I bring this up again because I believe that this is a way forward. You know what? This is Solutions Radio, ladies and gentlemen. And so when you can bring a constitutional sheriff on the line who beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court, who put together, in my opinion, one of the greatest states' rights decisions in modern times ever. And then you get videos of him peacefully dealing with some very radical, somewhat hostile people who have a lot of experience in getting under the skin of the cops and the establishment, so to speak. And then you have, on one hand, behind the scenes, agencies saying, you know what, crack some knuckles and kick some butt here, Sheriff. Come on now. The sheriff shows restraint, keeps his oaths of office, builds bridges to the point where these world firsters, or whatever they're called, earth firsters guys, earth first people, they literally kept a promise to the sheriff. And I guess what happened is, since you said they stunk, they reeked and stuff like that, and you basically said, hey, you know what, let's go ahead and have you guys take some showers, play a basketball game, get you guys out of here. You actually played basketball with these people, right?
Yeah, I challenged them to a basketball game, and there was a little bit of an ulterior motive, because the athletic director at Eastern Arizona College that let us use the gym, he provided towels for everybody to take showers after the game, and I said, man, I'm sure glad that these hippies get to take a shower finally. And they wanted to, you know, because the opportunity to take a shower or bathe the whole time they're up on the mountain was very seldom.
Anyway, I bring this all up, though, because just imagine, you could say, well, no, Sam, that takes too much time and resources. And my response is, I think the other way takes more time and resources. How much is it going to cost to deal with the property destruction that's taking place all over this country? How much is it going to cost to clean up after all that? You can't tell me. I know it takes time. I get it. But you can't tell me that it takes more time and more resources, because it clearly doesn't. Sheriff Matt could have had his complete jail overrun by these people, right?
Oh, yeah. Bad. Yeah. And the basketball game just, again, increased the camaraderie and the respect. And so we had only law enforcement, except my one son, Josh, who's home with him right now. He said, "Oh, Dad, can I play?" So, you know, I let him play. You know, he played high school, but he was only a freshman then. So his ability to play was just increasing at that time. And so my nephew ran the score clock and the time clock for us. And, I mean, we did the whole thing. We had the whole thing, and the community was invited. And there were some people who came to watch, and other police officers from other agencies asked me if they could come and play. And, of course, yeah, they were all welcome. So we had a couple of highway patrolmen who came and played with us. Some of the earthworkers were really tall. And that's the reason I said, well, guy, you guys look like you got some ball players here. I said, why don't we just have a law enforcement earth first basketball game? And I'll bet you that's the only time in history that's ever happened. So we did. We had a great time. But I will tell you, we killed them. They were lousy. And even their tall guys, they didn't know how to play ball. And so every now and again, I would tell my nephew to add some score, add some points to their score without anybody watching. And nobody noticed except me, because I told him to do it whenever. And so instead of beating him by 45, we beat him by about 28. You know, so I tried to get the score down where it was a little bit respectable.
But, wow.
We had a great time. And that really got a lot of talk around the community. Sheriff Mack plays basketball with the protesters. And, of course, we got a little heat on that, too. You know, but for the most part, it was positive, and most people thought it was kind of a fun thing to do and positive. But you know what, Sam? If we can play a basketball game instead of having riots and people inundate our jails and, you know, and gain some mutual respect and open the lines of communication, it did all of that. It did all of that and more. And I wouldn't change a thing about how we did that. And it was an amazing miracle that we all walked away from that without a major incident happening or somebody getting hurt.
How do we get the word out about this? The mainstream press will never help us, but isn't this Solutions Radio, isn't this the answer in terms of thinking outside of the box and keeping one's oath of office and appropriate lead-by-example behavior? Isn't this the way to move forward?
Well, I hope so. I've always maintained that, and nobody knows me better than you do on that, and I hope so, Sam. I just really, my mom taught me to be that way with people. And she lived nearby, and so there was just no way I could go against how she raised me. You know, but I do want to say something, Sam, real quick about another subject that I emailed you about.
Yep. No, hold on. Let's talk about it next hour in detail.
Oh, that's what I want. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
All right. So you can tease it, though. Give people a headline.
It is essential to any free society, including ours, will not itself become yet another casualty of COVID-19.
Amen to that. Led by a 77-year-old leader. We're going to spend plenty of time on it, Sheriff. Hang tight. Hour one in the can. I just couldn't let this pass out. Have you ever heard about the first ever law enforcement / earth first basketball game in Arizona? You probably haven't heard about it, have you? You ought to. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of hard-hitting talk straight ahead. God save the Republic of the United States.